Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, January 25th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 32, and we're starting with the first paragraph there at the top of the page, and it starts with, "Though there is no way of proving it," and we're ending on the 14th line of the following paragraph with "had qualified him to drink as other men." And that 14th line is down, way down at the bottom of the page. And the comments will be on all those paragraphs, all those sentences. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Cindy H., the 12 traditions, Alice G., and the readers of the text are Mary G., Kara L., and Shelley E. And the share ID for yesterday's meeting, Sunday, January 24th, is 16,262. That's 16262. And for this morning's meeting, January 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 16,266. That's 16266. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. Great for the month of January, and the same with announcements coordinator is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service this month. Overeaters, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cindy.
This is Cindy H., recovered in Michigan. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cindy H., for reading the 12 steps. I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, all. This is Alice G., recovering compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. I pass.
Well, thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 32, starting with the first paragraph there at the top of the page, though there is no way of proving it. And we're going to be reading through the second paragraph, ending on the 14th line of the following of the second paragraph with, had qualified him to drink as other men, down toward the bottom of the page. And the comments will be on all the above. And I will now ask Mary G. to get us started. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. This is Mary G., recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. Though there is no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. We have heard of a few instances where people who showed definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overpowering desire to do so. Here is one. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man. He remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. Wow, those paragraphs are just very powerful. As I was thinking about that first line, there's no way of proving it. We believe that early in our careers we could have stopped drinking. That is certainly not my experience. My eating career started probably when I was about 11, and I started using food as comfort, and I started using especially sugar. And I had no idea that sugar was the trigger that caused the cravings, that caused me to want to eat more and more. Even though as I grew to be in my teens, you know, I desperately wanted to lose weight. You know, I knew that, you know, if I wanted to attract any boys' attention or anything of that nature, I would have to lose weight. And yet I could not. I could not stay on a diet. I couldn't do any of that. And it's interesting that this man, you know, actually realized that he couldn't drink at all and actually was able to stop drinking for that long. I just am amazed at that because, you know, in the times that I did, once I started with OA, I had periods of abstinence, but every time that I would lose the 50 pounds that I thought I was overweight, I would celebrate. I would go right back into eating the things that caused me the problem to begin with. But that was my problem. I didn't know that was my problem. I didn't understand the doctor's opinion, and I certainly didn't understand the mental twist that I had. And so for me, I know that, you know, no matter how much my desire was to stop, you know, and to be thin, I wanted to have the symptoms of the overeating removed. But I really honestly didn't want to stop eating the way I was eating. I wanted to be able to be thin and still eat whatever I wanted. So this whole idea of, you know, a long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as others. You know, I have to be very careful because I've had abstinence for a long time. And if I become complacent, if I let go of my program, if I let go of working with others and I forget who I am, then I will pick up again. You know, I will, you know, convince myself that, you know, I have had such a long period of abstinence. I'm a normal weight now. There is no way that I could possibly gain it all back. And I would. I would gain it all back and more probably. And the problem is I don't know how long it would take me to get back here. My relapses in my first 17 years got longer and longer and worse and worse. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for getting us started, Alice G. No, Mary G. Sorry, Mary G. Okay, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 32, top of the page, first paragraph. Though there is no way of proving it, and we're ending on the 14th line of the following paragraph down at the bottom, had qualified him to drink like other men, and the comments will just be on those sentences. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'll take your names now if you'd like to share.
Larry G.
Larry
Janice
G.
PM.
Janice
Deborah
G.
Chris.
Janice Deborah.
V as in
Chris. Chris, what's your last initial?
S.
Kathleen
Chris
O.
X. Kathleen O. Oh, there's somebody
T.
before Kathleen. I'm sorry. I'll put you here. Okay. Karen T. We'll stop there. I don't have names finished up. Deborah G. Janice P. M. Okay. Here's who I have. I have Larry G., Janice P. M., Deborah G., Chris X., Karen T., and Kathleen O. Thank you all. And everybody else, please, all mute your line except Larry G. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. My name is Larry G. I'm from Northern California. We have the saying in 12-step programs that some of us are sicker than others. And this man is a good example of somebody who is sicker than others. I cannot imagine when active in the disease, ever having desire to go 25 years without eating compulsively or eating alcoholic foods. It just was unimaginable to me. I'm a true compulsive eater. I would want to be absent, and there was times in the face-to-face meetings prior to Visions that I thought I was absent, and now looking back, I know that I was just a dry drunk. I was just holding on, white-knuckling it until the next bite, and I knew there was going to be the next compulsive bite. I was coming from Dallas one time on an airplane from a business trip, and I was sitting next to this business fellow, and they were serving these brownies, right? They're a little square, and he took this brownie and unwrapped it carefully and cut it in half, and then took that brownie and in the cellophane and put it into his pocket, and I was fascinated by this. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with that other half of brownie? He says, well, I'm going to take it home and I'm going to have it for dessert tonight. And I just can't imagine that kind of thinking. I'm a volume eater. I'm recovering from a volume eater. I am a dirt bag, low bottom, compulsive eater. I'd rather eat donuts and Hostess products from AM PM market than from a dessert diner. I just could not imagine prior to Visions that would be possible to go. I wanted to go after coming off a prodigious binge. I wanted to have abstinence, but I knew that the next binge was going to come, and I couldn't stop it. I didn't want to stop it until May 17th. That was the end. I was a goner. I came into Visions when we were studying Visions, and Bill and Bob were 12-stepping Bill, and I came in the paragraph where Bill says, if I pick my bed up and walk out of this hospital, I'm a goner. And I felt like I was a goner that day. Thank God for finding Visions, my vision sponsor, going through the steps in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, reading these paragraphs each day, in contact with other recovered members. It has just been a gift. My name's Larry. I'm recovered compulsive eater, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Larry. Janice PM, followed by Deborah, I think it's G, but I'm not sure. Janice, good morning.
And good morning to you, Miss Mo. This is Janice PM, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. Oh boy, can I identify with this man. The only thing that was different is I couldn't hold it for 25 years. But I had the same alcoholic compulsive overeater mind. When I was in business, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to, after I retire, and I won't have any problems with the business, et cetera, then I'll be so much more safe. I'll have a strong desire because I will have a plenty of time to focus just on me. But, you see, I didn't know. I could be abstinent bodily, but I still had that compulsive overeater mind. You know, I had the abstinence. I had a little self-discipline more, but that's what I wanted to have so that it would qualify me to be a normal eater. But my alcoholic mind in my premeditation said, you know what? The belief that my mind said, you know, oh, I have a long period of abstinence, time. And, you know, I'm still have some willpower, which means his self-discipline, like this man of 30. So I'm going to be qualified to drink like normal people. But you see, I already was premeditating the outcome after so many years that this is what I will do. And, you know, if once you have that insanity, once I had that insanity of that compulsive overeater mind, I said to myself it would be okay. No. Once a compulsive overeater, we learn, always a compulsive overeater. You see, it was all premeditated in my mind. I always thought that line that said, someday, somehow, I'm going to beat this. And I tried. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what I did, what I didn't do, what diet I was on, whether I was retired, whatever it was. I'm always going to be a compulsive overeater, and I still am. And nothing, zero, qualifies me to eat normally like other people. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Janice PM. The next up is Deborah. Is it G or V?
V as in Victoria.
Okay, sorry, Deborah V. So Deborah V. And after Deborah will be Chris X. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Deborah V., recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. What really stood out for me was the sentence that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink. For me, this was my experience, particularly when I came to OA initially, because what would happen to me over and over again was that I would become, quote, abstinent from my binge foods for a period of time, sometimes short, sometimes long. And once I gained physical recovery, I would think that I could go back and eat all those things again because I was using OA for years as a diet club. And I thought that my problem was my eating. And, you know, it took me many, many years to realize that my eating was just a symptom of my problem and that my problem was in my mind. And that my symptoms happened to manifest in my eating and in my body. But, you know, I had this continual delusion that somehow it would be different. And I, like he, would, you know, say, you know, I need to function. Or there were times when there was a holiday and I would say, okay, I'm not going to eat XYZ for 6 months. But then when this holiday comes or this event comes, then I'm going to eat it again. And of course, the phenomenon of craving began because I have a biological mandate that once I eat it, I got to eat other stuff and I got to keep eating it. And I did that for years and years and years and years. And, you know, the big book tells us that when we put down the food, it's just a mere beginning. And what's so clear to me from this reading is that this is not just a physical disease, that this is emotional and spiritual. And I ignored those two last pieces for so long. And once I was able to get the food down and become entirely abstinent and work these steps, did I find freedom. So with that, I pass.
And thank you, Deborah V. from New Jersey. And next we have Chris X., followed by Karen T. Good morning, Chris.
Hi.
Tell us where you're from.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, Chris S. In Idaho. Thanks so much, everyone. I've identified very strongly with not only the reading, but all of your shares. I didn't have 25 years of abstinence, but I think I had about 2 years of abstinence before having the same thought as the man in the reading. I initially had come to OA because I knew I'd had a problem. Yeah, I knew that I had eaten compulsively. And specifically for me, I was under the impression that it was physical. I would get horrifically ill eating, you know, wheat and sugar. So I thought, oh, I'm eating these things that are harmful for me. And it culminated with missing my son's second birthday because I'd eaten, you know, a burrito and some other stuff and had gotten violently ill. And that was a wake-up call. And so, you know, was going to programs in L.A. and everything was going great, moved cross country. And I had thought I had licked it. I thought I had beaten the disease. But sure enough, sooner or later, everything starts roaring back. And I had, weirdly enough, gotten on some medication and discovered, oh, I can eat wheat again without getting sick. And that, you know, had been something that hadn't been true for over a decade. But now I can eat a sandwich and eat a cookie or whatever, and I don't violently throw up or whatever the side effects are. So I have gone completely in the wrong direction with compulsively eating everything in sight because now there's no physical governor stopping me. Because before I would get sick and, you know, almost like an alcoholic throwing up or you know, getting a hangover. So for me, having to come back and realize that this is something more fundamental, this is not just a matter of willpower, this is not just a diet, this is not just some meal plan I need to adopt, but a more fundamental spiritual and emotional disease. And so I'm very thankful with, especially during the pandemic, with these phone meetings and being able to connect with people all over the world and all of your shares. So I'm just looking forward to being back in the program, and I pass.
Chris, again, where are you from?
I'm in Idaho.
Idaho, and is it S or X?
S is in Sam.
Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you very much for your share. Next up, we have Karen T, followed by Kathleen O, and then I'll open the line for more shares. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Karen T, calling in from Louisiana. So grateful to be here today. The difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop where there is yet time. I had a desire before coming into OA to lose weight, and sometimes I could do it and sometimes I couldn't, and I did yo-yo up and down a few times. And but when I was in my fourth relapse, I had been in OA for 8 years, I decided that I was ready to be abstinent again. So all of a sudden I had the desire to be abstinent. And I had been in OA for 8 years, and so I could not get abstinent. And I would get on my knees in the morning and beg God to help show me what part of step 1, 2, and 3 I'm not doing right. I would assure God that I really, really, really have the desire to be abstinent today. And I would get up, and some days I'd be abstinent, and other days I wouldn't. And the relapse continued. And I was baffled because I thought it was a matter of desire. And it wasn't. I am powerless over food, so badly I'm powerless when I have the desire to stop. I'm powerless when I don't have the desire to stop. I'm powerless when I'm eating it. I'm powerless when I'm not eating it. So I am a real alcoholic when it comes to food, a real foodaholic. And then this idea at the last part of the reading we did, that the long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. I get that. I have to really watch for complacency. And so the thing that helps me to remember and to be grateful for my abstinence and to not get complacent is working with other compulsive overeaters, especially working with compulsive overeaters who are not abstinent. That helps me more than anything else. So I know for me, I need to be working actively with people, either as a sponsor or just calling them, and working with people who are not abstinent, because that really helps me to stay close to my higher power and gives me the motivation to do the work that I need to do. There's a 10th step that I'm working on right now. And so I need to do that. I've already had one. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff I need to do to stay in fit spiritual condition. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Karen T. And before I take Kathleen O, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 32, starting with the first paragraph. So there is no way of proving it, and we're going to read down through the following paragraph, ending with the 14th line, with had qualified him to drink as other men, and the comments will be on all those sentences. And after Kathleen, I'll take more names. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Good to hear you moderating this morning. And thank you, everyone, for your shares. I can relate to every single one of you this morning. There's so much in all these lines. So he quieted himself with more liquor. I was always quieting myself with food. Anytime something would go wrong, I would quiet myself with food. Once he started, he had no control, whatever. Boy, can I relate to that. You know, if you're truly a compulsive overeater, the real compulsive overeater, it always gets worse. It never gets better. You know, normal people, they can go to a party, eat a little bit of food, and then forget about it. And I could never relate to that. I would eat a little food, And I couldn't stop thinking about it. I might be able to stop eating it because I didn't want to look like a glutton, but I could not stop thinking about it. And then, of course, when I would get alone, I would act like a glutton. It's that mental obsession kicks in. And the idea that I could ever eat like a normal person, it truly had to be smashed. You know, I had to admit I was powerless over food. This is a long, patient disease, just waiting and waiting. And like it was with this man of 30. And if you're a real compulsive overeater, it's going to get you, just like this guy. You know, hoping and wishing, I did a lot of that. Even wishing before blowing out a birthday cake, you know, I'd have the candles on the birthday cake and I'd wish to be thin. And then I'd proceed to eat the entire cake. Hoping and wishing just didn't work. And going on diets, you know, that flame, going on a diet and losing weight and being successful at diets, I was very successful at diets, but I still had that craziness going on in my head. I mean, the difference in this program is I got rid of that 400 pounds between my ears, and that was such a gift. But, you know, when I was going on diets, it was like the flame was out, but the pilot light was always lit. And so I really had to put the food down 100% and stop fooling myself. I had to concede to my innermost self I would never be normal. You know, the thoughts that I was ever going to control the food truly had to be smashed. I had to walk through the steps, have a spiritual experience, a change in personality. And like this man of 30, if you're trying to control it, it's most likely controlling you. And the answer is in these steps. And I thank every one of you for being on the line this morning. And Kathleen O. in California, I pass.
And thank you, Kathleen O. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So anyone who would like to share on these sentences?
Noel E.
D.
Michelle.
Noel C. Who was after Noel? I mean, Noel E. Who was after Noel?
Britt C.
Britt.
Britt
V.
Michelle
G. I got a Michelle Z and somebody else.
Linda C.
Linda C.
Deborah G.
Okay. All right, Deborah, we'll see if we have time for you. We'll stop there. Okay, so I have Noel E., Britt V., Kathy M., Michelle C., Z., Linda C., and Deborah G. I hope I have all those initials right, but we'll start. Correct me, and please give the name of your state when you start to share. Noel E., you're up. Everybody else, please mute.
Good morning. This is Noel E. from Louisiana. Gratefully recovered, not cured. Compulsive overeater. Man, thank you, everybody, on this line for your service, especially my shepherd, Karen T. This is an awesome part of this book. I keep thinking of the lines where it says, you know, there's no way of proving it. We believe that in our early drinking careers, most of us could have stopped. I don't believe that this is true for me. I mean, I can't remember a time where I wasn't weighing the options of food. And even the dieting was, the weight loss was never the aim. It was, how can I, you know, most of the time eat in a way that whenever I want to eat how I want, it doesn't show up on my body. That was the aim of every single diet or exercise regime or training for a half marathon or anything like that. That was the goal. But it also came in bouts of goals of, you know, once I'm, the wedding is past me, or once, you know, when we move into the new house, I'm going to leave this behavior behind, you know. It's always the next thing. And even getting to the end of a goal, this is important for me to hear right now. I actually was asked about service on something similar to this morning, about, you know, where I am in life. I have 3 young children under the age of 6. And when I first came to program, there were a lot of fellows who were like, well, don't worry about this now. You know, oh gosh, you're breastfeeding. Wait until you're done. And I am so grateful for the, you know, for God continuing to tell me that this is where I needed to be and for seeing me the way he did, because there's no waiting till the next thing anymore. It's absolutely the main aim to put this first, because everything else falls into place when God is in the center. Gosh, thank you guys so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noel E. from Louisiana. Britt V. Good morning.
Hi. This is Britt V. in New Mexico. I am a compulsive overeater. Mo, thanks for your service. Thank you for everyone. This is an amazing portion of the Big Book, and everyone's shares were incredible. I have a wonderful sponsor, and I've gone through the steps, but I have to continue to live in 10, 11, 12. It's a growing discipline, because I still have so much garbage in my heart that I have to get rid of. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. We all may look at this differently, but what I saw when I saw the sentence was, there's this little part of me that will not fully admit that I have a problem and says, I still have time. Yes, I'm grossly overweight, and yes, my health has suffered, but it's not bad enough that I'm going to die immediately. So maybe we could still continue. And although I've been abstinent, that thought continues in the back of my mind, and I know that it is a sign of sickness. And because, as others have shared, I cannot eat like other people. I can't. I cannot have whatever a normal relationship with food is. It's not possible. It's not a part of who I am. I can't. I simply can't. And so I am continually, every day, having to admit my powerlessness, turn my life over to God, and admit to God, to others, to myself, I simply can't. That's the way it is. I can't. And just, wow, it meant so much to me to hear others echo that same sentiment. I know I'm not alone in this journey, and I'm so appreciative of all of you so very much, and for A Vision for You. Looking at the Big Book as a textbook has really, really changed my life. I have grown more in the last 9 months than I have in years. And I appreciate you all so very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Britt V. from New Mexico. Kathy M. followed by Michelle Z. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy M. from New York. This is really powerful reading material, and I thank everybody for their shares. I'm pretty new in this program, I guess since the beginning of October, and I am presently not overweight. I was overweight for many years, and I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago, I lost weight, and I've kept it off. So my problem now is, I guess I'm not abstinent. I can go for about 6 days, and I actually even allow myself a binge. I am a binge overeater, and I mean a real binge overeater. I've come to the reality that I cannot eat like other people. But I've also moved on to the fact, well, I'm not going to eat like other people. So I almost plan my binges. I can be in control most of the week, and then when I binge to excessive, disgusting, gluttony, passing out. And my problem is that it's denial, and as long as I get right back on my plan and I don't gain weight, I almost accept the fact. Well, you know, so I binge, so what? You know, I almost planned for the fact. So I am in constant arguing with myself, trying to, you know, find the perfect food plan, find the perfect abstinence plan, find the this or that. I'm such a black and white thinker. So that's where I am. I mean, I believe I have learned a lot from these meetings. I really appreciate them. I have a wonderful, wonderful patient sponsor who a lot of the times I'm afraid to admit some of my binges, but she is just so patient with me. But that's all I have to say. I'm hoping the physical part is kind of acknowledged, but the spiritual malady and the mental obsession, forget it. It's still extremely strong. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Kathy M. from New York. Michelle, I think I got your last initial wrong. Michelle.
That's okay. It's Michelle G. as in George from Southern California.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and a compulsive eater, and I so identified with the lady before me. And everyone, you know, everything. I'm not, you know, thinking that I'm not bad enough yet. So, you know, I'm still in this. And what it says in here, but the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. Somebody else spoke a little earlier about the desire. You know, it doesn't matter whether I have the desire to stop or not. You know, I don't want to do this, but it's like I keep doing it. And getting 25 years, you know, that's some crazy stuff right there. I was like, I've been in a 90-day program and never could get 90 days. Before coming to Vision, I never had anything like 6 months. I got here last year in the summer of 2019 and desperate, did all the work, did exactly what my sponsor said to do, and got 6 months. I got 6 months free. And the thing that I even hear myself saying right now is that I got it. That's my problem. I think I'm doing something. And even knowing that that's my problem, I'm powerless. You know, I did the 6 months. I was working with others. I wasn't working 10 and 11. That's what I see, because my pride said, my sponsor told me how to do this, so I should know how to do this, but this seems very difficult, and I don't know how to do it. So I'm in the book every day with my sponsees, so I'm cool. So I wasn't talking to anyone. And when the thought came, I wish I could have that, I didn't tell anybody. And 2 months later, I had that. And from February of last year till today, I've been struggling. I got 20 days just recently. I got, you know, yesterday was my third day, and there I was, I picked up. And it's like, okay, I know I have no control. Somewhere in me, I know that. But in that other part of me, my disease is like, you are not going anywhere. My disease says, I got you. I'm never going to let you go. And this program tells me that my higher power is saying, I will get you from that master. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get you, but you got to go through everything you've got to go through. And you will be free. That's the hope that I have. What I'm looking at, I can't keep looking at it. I have to keep looking at my higher power. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle. This is Michelle G. from California. Okay, we have 5 minutes left, so we'll take two, a little over 2 minutes each for Linda C. and Deborah G. Good morning, Linda.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Oops. Good morning, Mo. Am I up?
Yeah.
Linda C.
This is Linda. Yes, Linda C.
Oh,
from.
Sorry, yeah. I thought you meant Linda R. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mo, for your service. This is Linda C. Central Oregon. Wow, this is a lot of stuff. So much of my history. I don't know which pieces to pull out, but I'm in recovery, and I'm only recovered because I'm in these meetings. That's so. How come? I could go on about the diets I've been on, and then immediately getting to a weight, then turning around and just not understanding that picking up that stuff again was going to just, you know, make me insane. So the other piece of quieting myself with food, I did that a lot. And what I really want to touch bases on is the very last sentence about after a long period of sobriety and discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. That's kind of what I was just saying about the dieting, and then I would have some success and go right back into it. So for today, where I'm at, after being in programs from 1998, I am sort of getting it. Like, I understand now that the food items are an allergy, that when I put them in my system, my food thoughts are just wild. And so what I want to share is I'm understanding the allergy and the twist of the mind. And when this fellow thinks he can be can drink, if he can drink after this 25-year sobriety, I have a thought in my mind that this does not qualify him, and that for me in recovery today is I am on high alert for the what I call stinky thinking in my mind that starts telling me, oh, I can just have this, or, oh, this won't matter. So for today, I'm in recovery, and I am on high alert to not think I can have those items. And that's what I do one day at a time. I don't look into the future that this, if I'm blessed with 20 more years of life, I don't look at that I have to do it. All I have to do is do it today. And I'm so thankful for visions, and thank you, everybody. Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you very much, Linda C. And our last share today will be Deborah G. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning. And thank you, Mo, again for your service and all those that made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you for 12-stepping me this morning. And I brought to mind of for me that first step, because I continued to believe the lie that I wasn't a compulsive overeater, and I had to learn to get honest and also look at I was giving the food the power rather than that power in step two, the power, continually doing that, being dishonest, believing the lie, giving power to food instead of that higher power, who I choose to call God. And it wasn't until I could see that and believe that and feel that was I able to stop that. And because I can't. I need help. I need that power in step two. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much for sharing, Deborah G. So I want to thank Team Monday for their month of service in January, and we'll start with a new month next week. Thank you, everyone, for your shares today. It was a powerful meeting, and we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.